You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. We've got Cartmel, Hamilton and Thirsk on Wednesday afternoon. It's Kempton and Newton Abbott in the evening domestically, and there's racing over in Ireland from Goran Park. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yeah, good, Mark. Good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good.
Well done.
Thanks. We're going to have a quick look ahead to some of the betting for the Derby and the Oaks, and then we're going to look at Wednesday's racing. Sean's
cool.
Got four races for us. The Derby's not far away, Sean, but without getting stuck into the betting straight away,
yep.
It's kind of a muddy picture still, isn't it, more than recent years?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. Although, if you believe that Golden Horn will stay the mile and a half, no problem, then I think you'd have to be fairly confident that he's the one that's going to take the beating. See, with us at William Hill, we're still 7-4. He's generally 7-4, but a little bit shorter in places where 7-4 is as big as you'll get about Golden Horn. So do come to us here at William Hill if you're wanting to back the Derby favourites. I was very impressed with him at York. I was there that day. He beat his stablemate Jack Hobbs. He was slightly more experienced than Jack Hobbs. You know, of course, it was only Jack Hobbs' third career start. And he was taking a massive step, having only run in maiden company and handicap company. So for him to pitch into group company was a tough ask. But I do think Golden Horn is the one to aim at.
Mm. Yeah, Golden Horn 7-4 at the top of betting. Was trimmed in from 2-1 over the weekend. So positives for him. Zorak is another one that's shortened. 9-2. His form was boosted over the weekend in the Irish 2000 Guineas by Endless Drama and Mohayed. He's shortened without coming out of his horse box. So.
Yeah.
So what do you make of it?
Well, I just thought it was very interesting that after he won at Leopardstown last time out in the Guineas trial, Pat Smullen immediately said, when asked, did he feel it was a Guineas horse? He said, oh, no, I think this horse is a strong stayer. I think the Derby is going to be his race, be it the Irish or the English. They swerved the Guineas. Who knows? You know, given that form that he showed at Leopardstown, he might well have won the Guineas the other day. He beat Endless Drama 3.5 lengths, and of course Endless Drama was beaten less than a length by Glen Eagles at the weekend. So on strict form, he'd have been bang there, wouldn't he,
yeah,
in the Guineas. So the fact they've waited for the Derby, I think, is very, very interesting. Trained by a master in Dermot Weld, he's sure not to have got it wrong. He's probably Ireland's best hope of winning the Derby, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which is amazing to think. Over the winter, it was the Coolmore horses that dominated the betting, and people were struggling to see beyond an Aidan O'Brien-trained winner. Now, it's looking unlikely that Aidan O'Brien will train the winner of the race. The shortest of his at the moment is Hans Holbein.
Yeah, or Found, if the filly goes to the race.
Yep.
There's talk of her possibly running in the Derby. She'll be the first filly to win the Derby for a very long time. 1916 was the last time a filly won the Derby, and only six have done it in the history of the race.
I just think they probably feel they've got such a strong hand in the Oaks that it's worth throwing one of the better fillies into the Derby. And Found looks quite hardy, doesn't she? She's already had a couple of runs this season. She was a Group 1 winner at 2 last year. So she's probably the most battle-hardened of their fillies, and maybe that's why they feel she's the one they could pitch into the Derby if they do.
Yeah, we also had Breakfast with the Stars on Tuesday morning, so we should talk about a little bit of that. Golden Horn worked well enough, apparently. Jack Hobbs, there were positive noises about him. He's likely to run after his Epsom workout. William Buick saying that he felt very comfortable around Epsom, which was a concern because he's still quite a big baby, isn't he? He's quite green. So.
No, absolutely. I think after his workout this morning, you know, he's hardened in the betting, and with we go 13-2 about Jack Hobbs, he's sure to improve for that run in the Dante. But I just thought he was so emphatically put in his place by a Golden Horn that you'd have to see Golden Horn running below form or regressing from that York run to get beaten by either Jacobs or Elm Park. I can see Jacobs and Elm Park improving, but it's just whether they're going to improve enough to reverse the form with Golden Horn, because at the line at York, he was well on top, wasn't he?
Yeah. I do think Elm Park will be much closer, though.
Yep.
He's a big colt now. He probably will have needed the run. The noises from Breakfast with the Stars around him were good. It worked very well, apparently. Azzini says he's come on a lot since that run. So if he has strengthened up, his form's very, very solid as well. I think he could be the one.
I didn't see the piece of work around Epsom this morning, Mark. But I'd be interested to see how he did act round the track, because I would question his ability to act around Epsom. Of course, you know, it's hard to say, because a lot of his form have come rotten tracks, Sandown, Newbury, Newmarket, Doncaster, York, yeah. Quite galloping tracks, level galloping tracks, barring Newmarket, of course, where they have the undulations. But it'll be interesting to see if he acts around Epsom. And, of course, I think we all feel that Elm Park is maybe better with a little bit of juice in the ground. So I'd probably wait until the day to see what the ground is like before backing him. Let's not forget the connections withdrew him from the Guineas because of fast ground. Now, it was very quick in the Guineas, and they were wanting to look after him. And, of course, they've always viewed him as a Derby horse rather than a Guineas horse, so that was why they did it. But if you fancy Elm Park, I don't think he's going to be much shorter than what he currently is on the day, so I'd maybe wait.
Yeah. Two more that were added to the picture today as well. Carpino was added, and Sheikh Fahad's other runner, impressive Saint-Cloud winner, Sunbal, have both been entered into the betting to be seen whether they're supplemented as well. But it makes it even more tricky, I suppose, because the way that Carpino won the German 2000 Guineas, it was pretty impressive, wasn't
he? He was. He absolutely bolted up and beat the Marco Botti trained horse into second, put Marco Botti's horse in his place, that as you'd want to see him do so. But interesting that Sheikh Fahad said, following that victory, he was present at Cologne, that all options are open, including the Derby. I don't think they'll be rushed into a decision. And of course, we've seen German horses do so well in our country and France in the second half of the season. He might be viewed as a horse maybe for the King George or something. Mm. We've seen German-trained horses win the King George in recent years, haven't we? Dane Dream, to name but one. She, of course, the superstar filly.
Yeah.
So whether that's considered an option, and then maybe the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe at the end of the year, I'm not sure. But you know, they're really in the driving seat with that horse. He's now 3 from 3 and looks of a colt of the highest quality.
Yeah, if you had to pick one now, who would you go with?
In the Derby?
Yeah.
Golden Horn.
Okay, Golden Horn for Sean there then. Let's move on to the Oaks. Legatissimo currently heads the market at 4-1, 5-1 for Crystal's Vesta. Found is 6-1, 13-2 for Diamonds and Rubies. Together Forever is 8-1, Star of Seville 10s, Jack Naylor 11s, Jazzy Top 12s, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Standout price of 4-1 about Legatissimo, obviously, yes, won the 1,000 Guineas. And David Watchman says he's confident that she's stronger since her 1,000 Guineas win, which would make her very hard to beat.
Yeah, that would bode very well for her prospects, wouldn't it? I mean, she was ultra impressive in the 1,000 Guineas, and she will be well suited by the step up in trip. She's out of a Monjeu Mare in Yummy Mummy, and her siblings stayed very well. One of her siblings stayed 2.5 miles. The other horse, Royal Battalion, a very good 1.5 mile horse. So for her to have done what she's done over a mile, I think is only positive, and she will improve for the step up and trip, you feel, Legatissimo. I was in the studio though when Crystal's Vader won at Newbury last time out, and that performance oozed class, and I the immediate impression from the studio was that we may well have seen the Oaks winner, and that hasn't changed in my mind. It was a hugely impressive performance for a horse on only her third start. She beat Montalcino by 3.5 lengths. There was a good way back to the rest of them, but I mean, it was 3.5 lengths. It could have been any distance. She was that impressive. She's bred to be top class. Of course, she's a sister to Crystal Capella and Hill Star, or half sister to those two horses. Arguably, by an even better stallion than those two in Dubawi. So, you know, her claims are obvious, and I see she's currently 5-1 with us. At William Hill Crystal's Vader, we're at a stand-up price about her as well, so that would make a bit of appeal to me.
Yeah, I spoke to the traders this morning, and they were saying that Crystal's Vader has been very well backed all last week. She shot on last week, and
yeah, she did.
Still strong, and he's saying that the guy that's about to says he don't think the 5-1 will last. So.
No, I probably I would agree with that. If you were fancying Crystal's Vader for the Oaks, I'd maybe get in now, because I'd like yourself, and I could see her going off 7-2, 4-1 on the day.
Mm. Anything else in the Oaks that you want to mention in there?
Diamonds and Rubies was impressive around Chester. Obviously, you know, that race wasn't the strongest, but it was the visual impression that she created that impressed me, and I think you'd have to throw her into the mix. Together Forever and Star of Seville met at York last time out in the Musidora. I thought it was a fair Musidora without being a top-notch one. I could see maybe one of them hitting the frame, but I question whether either are good enough to win the Oaks. So, yeah, I do think it's probably between the top two in the bed, and I'll side with the second foul, Crystal's Vader.
Okay, Crystal's Vader then. It'll be interesting to see who Ryan Moore ends up riding, because he's got a pick of about 4 or 5 there, hasn't he?
Yeah, as you say, Ryan will get the choice between Legatissimo. He could ride Crystal's Vader. He could ride Found is likely to go for the Derby. Diamonds and Rubies, of course, he won on. Together Forever. So he really is in control regarding the Oaks. What do you think he'll pick, Mark? Do you think he'll go with the Fav?
Crystal's Vader being so impressive. It'd be interesting if he got on that one. Whichever he picks, he's going to short on massive.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Whichever he picks will go off favourite, you'd imagine.
So it's a conundrum. Would you get off a 1,000 guineas winner?
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very hard. I don't think he'll ride Diamonds and Rubies.
No.
Together Forever's a Group 1 winner, but she was beaten last time out, so it might, you know, she might just get passed over. Legatissimo. Well, I'd probably ride Crystal's Vader, but it'll be interesting, it'll be interesting to see. You know, of course, he has the choice. You know, to ride either the Coolmore owned horses or for Sir Michael Stout, but of course he's getting a lot of good rides for the Coolmore operation, isn't he? Now, Sir Michael's been very loyal to him for years, and they've been a hugely successful partnership. But Sir Michael doesn't have as many good horses as the Coolmore operation, so that'll be interesting.
Mm, certainly will. We'll keep an eye on that one, but we must move on. Let's look at Wednesday's racing. We'll get Sean's thoughts in 4 races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We start in the 2:40 at Hamilton. This is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 11 here, Sean, and it's quite an open start to this preview.
Yeah, it is a really open race. You've got the hat-trick seeking Rock Canyon carrying a £12 penalty for Linda Perrott and PJ McDonald. This horse bidden to defy a mark of 68. He's been operating marks much lower than 68 for quite a while, though. And I question whether he would be able to notch the hat-trick. His last 2 wins have come at Ayr. Ayr seems to be the track where he operates best, and moving away from there to Hamilton, albeit a track that he has won at in the past, might just be enough to stop him bagging that hat-trick. Feel the Heat ran okay on his seasonal reappearance when finishing 4th in a Thirst handicap. He should have come on for that run. So I think Brian Smart's horse would have to be considered. Razaman, the old boy, showed there was still a little bit of life left in him 2 days ago at Carlisle when he was beaten by Manatee Bay. He found his mark slipping as a result of some fairly moderate runs last year and early this year. But maybe it's possible that last time out signalled a return to form, and he might be able to take advantage of this career low mark of 70. Lothair carries a £6 penalty for an Ayr win last week, and I think that piece of form is definitely the strongest in this race. He beat Art Obsession, a lightly raced horse of David Barron's. Victoire de Lifar was back in 3rd, and our boy Jack, a horse who had good Ayr form, finished 4th. The race has a really strong look to it, and Lothair put his rivals to the sword that day. I don't think a £6 penalty will be enough to stop him.
No, and he was well backed as well, 16s into 10s that day, so suggesting that I felt a return to form was on its way.
Yeah.
Low feather selection then?
Yeah, low feather selection.
Okay. The 4:05 at Thirsk is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. A field of 8 here. We'll start with Lucky Lodge down at the bottom of the weights there, Sean, because he's more consistent than most, but only managed 4th last time. Is that a sign that the handicapper might be catching up with him?
Well, this horse started winning off marks in the low 60s. It's climbed to mark in the low 70s. Ran okay last time up behind Kenny the captain, but probably has to improve again. This that race up at Newcastle last time out was a 0-25. This also a 0-25. But you've got a couple of horses towards the top that have the class to operate in races a little bit better than this, you could argue. The likes of Dubai Hills and certainly Rex Imperator. So whether Lucky Lodge is able to keep progressing remains to be seen. I mentioned those two at the top, both coming from the David O'Meara stable. The first, the top three in the weights from David O'Meara's, if you throw in Steel Train. Rex Imperator ran a little bit better last time out at Thirsk. Finished 8th of 12 in quite a decent race, a race won by Straits of Malacca. But he was beaten less than four lengths, and that race suggested that he might be ready to strike. I mean, he's fallen a good way in the weights. Let's not forget, this is a former Stewards' Cup winner. He ran in Group 1 races after winning the Stewards' Cup. They ran him in the Haydock Park Sprint Cup. He was rated 110 at his peak. He's dropped very, very quickly in the weights, from 110 down to 85. This time last year, he was finished second in a listed race at Windsor to Rocky Ground when he was rated 110. So, you know, he's £25 lower now. He's going to take advantage of that at some point, and he might be at a decent enough price in this contest. So he'd get the vote. Others to consider, maybe Finn Class, who didn't give his true running at the weekend, Catrick, in a race won by Field Gunner Kirkup. But prior to that, he'd run well behind Alcorn up at Ayr, and he was drawn very wide at the weekend, Finn Class, so maybe he can be excused that. He might be one to hit the frame, but I'll go with Rex Imperator.
Rex Imperator for Sean then in that one. The 440 at Thirsk is a class 5 handicap over a mile. It's for the 3-year-olds. A field of 14 here, Sean, and we're probably going to have 9-2, 5-2 on the field here. It's going to be one of our open races on the
day. This is really wide open, isn't it, as you say. Over a mile at Thirsk, a low draw is pretty key, Mark, so I'd be looking towards horses with a low draw in this contest. Kevin Ryan's horse, the Wee Barra, might be quite interesting. This horse has only had four starts to date, one in handicap company when he finished third at Wolverhampton towards the back end of last year. He was put away after that. But you'd imagine he'd be able to win races off this mark of 62. A horse that's found his mark slipping a little bit in recent times is Burton Wood. He was with Richard Fahey, now with Julie Camacho. Down to a mark of 64, that looks quite appealing on some of last year's form. And he didn't run too badly last time out at Haydock when finishing 6th of 9 in a race won by Volunteer Point. But he was only beaten 4 1/4 lengths that day in a race that was definitely a little bit stronger than this. So he'd be one to throw into the mix at a price. And of the others, well, I suppose Make on Madam has been running well, but is drawn very wide in stall 14. That would be enough to put me off. Clampdown is another one. James Tate's horse has been running well of late, although was turned over at odds on last time out. This horse is coming out of stall 12. So two to maybe throw at you. The Wee Barrow will be shorter. He'll be the main selection. I'd have a small saver on Burton Wood. They're coming from stalls 2 and 5, respectively.
Okay, a couple to consider there then in the 440. The 840 at Kempton is where we finish. This is a class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. And we'll start here with Dr. Sardonicus, if we can, Sean, because he was campaigned over 7 furlongs and a mile last season. Made his reappearance over 6 at Chelmsford and won pretty convincingly in the end.
Yeah, he won really well, didn't he? Beat the old boy at Regal Parade. Crazy Chic, the 6-4 favourite, was only 4th that day. It's interesting that he'd been campaigned at 7 and a mile last year. He's a son of Medician, so that's, you know, he's bred to stay around a mile. Medician was best at a mile and a quarter. But his dam, never a doubt, is by Night Shift, and presumably that's where the speed and the pedigree comes from. And he might just have found his calling now as a sprinter. Could be open to further improvement. Bit of a negative, though, that he's coming out of stall 10, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a little bit wider than ideal, stall 10. But there's no doubt he's open to further improvement. A horse back on Polytrack, having disappointed on turf last time out, is Searchlight. This horse's best form of late has come on the Polytrack, and it may be that he just is a better performer on artificial surfaces than on turf. So I throw that horse into the mix. Picture Dealer ran well enough when second behind Golden Amber last time out at Chelmsford. This horse was rated in the 90s last year. Slipped to a mark of 87. He might be ready to take advantage of that. And then down towards the bottom of the weights, we've got the likes of Clockmaker, who is consistent, but he's probably better over 7 furlongs. Tagula Knight, I find Tagula Knight a hard horse to catch right. Run with Pride might be interesting. This horse ran in a really hot race at Newmarket last time out on the turf. Prior to that, he ran really well at Chelmsford twice. So back on the all-weather in a slightly lesser race from a good draw in stall one, he might be one to throw into the mix. I think Dr. Sardonic is definitely open to improvement, but that draw in stall 10 is just enough to put me off. I'll side with Run with Pride, who should be an okay price mark.
Okay, Run with Pride to provide a bit of value then in the 8.40. Let's just have a quick summary, Sean, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yep, sure thing. In the 2.40 at Hamilton, I'm going to go with Lothair to defy a £6 penalty. He won really well at Ayr last week, and I think he can follow up. In the 4.05 from Thirsk, I'm going to side with Rex Imperator, a horse who's become well handicapped. Ran okay last time out at the track, over 6 furlongs, steps up to 7. Hopefully he can bounce back to form. Then in a really wide open race, the 4.40, I'm going to split my stakes here with the Wee Barra, who's likely to be one of the favourites here, and Burton Wood, who might be a little bit bigger. They're both well drawn, which I think is key on the round track at Thirsk. And then at Kempton, the 8.40, the penultimate race of the evening, I'm going to side with Run with Pride from a good draw in stall 1. I'd respect Dr. Sardonicus, but his draw in stall 10 has done him no favours.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Cheers, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Cartmel, Hamilton and Thirsk on Wednesday afternoon. Kempton and Newton Abbott will provide the action in the evening. And we've also got racing over in Ireland on Wednesday evening from Goran Park as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.